it's time for the End of Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is Damian Lemon, and this is In the Conversation, the podcast. Yes, yes, we're back in the building. Ali is away. It is just you and I. Another one-on-one, but we kicking it. We having a good time. How y'all doing? Okay. All right. Bad. I guess it's been a mess to ask you. Oh, well, that's good. That's good to hear. Yeah, I'm chilling, too. I am chilling, too. Good to be here. Good to be in your ear, you know. I'm fresh off of the Ann Arbor shows. Shout out to Ann Arbor. Shout out to the Ann Arbor Comedy Showcase. Shout out to all of the people that came through. You know, I was pumping it, and the people came through. The people showed up, and I showed out. It was a good time. Quite a few conversationalists in the building. You know, that's always cool when they pull up like, yo, you know, I'm in the conversation. I say, hey, all right, that's what's up. That's good to see. Conversation is out in the Midwest. So that was dope. Yeah, shout out to everybody over at the Ann Arbor Comedy Showcase. Salute to Brady Keene hosting and Brandy Alexander for featuring. It was a good time. We had fun out there. Yeah, that was fun. And the crazy thing was, Ann Arbor wasn't even cold ass Ann Arbor. All of that fretting. See, I was nervous. I was like, man, it's going to be cold out there. I was getting my world together. I was even going to go buy these ski pants. Fortunately, I ain't pull the trigger on those, but I was going to go cop these ski pants just because I'm thinking it's going to be stupid out there. And I was like, dang, I got to bring some boots and then some regular, you know. Fortunately, nah, it was like 50 degrees out there on one night, one day. And then the other days, it was mild. It wasn't crazy. I got to, you know, explore a little bit more of Ann Arbor this time. Walked around the University of Michigan campus. Kind of got to see a little, you know, a little bit up close. That campus is so sprawling. I didn't even venture on campus. It was just like, you know, that campus damn near encircles the entire town. So it's everywhere you wanna be. But it was pretty interesting. They got this thing, and I still have to find out exactly what it is. But I'm walking through Ann Arbor, and then I see a sneaker on a power line. I'm like, wait a minute, what's going on here? Ann Arbor don't seem like that type of place where it's going to be a sneaker on the power line. Because, you know, certain places, a sneaker on the power line means a certain thing. You know, it could, you know, all types of things. Typically nefarious. You know, things that are sad or things that are like, hey, listen, it's caution. You know, at the very least. Or indication, you know. But I'm like, all right, this is odd, maybe, you know, maybe somebody, I'm still thinking it couldn't have been nothing crazy. Maybe somebody got hit by a car or something like that. I don't mean to make it sound lax like that, but I'm just thinking it can't be what I'm thinking it is. And as I'm walking, I see even more sneakers on the line. Then I see like a bundle of sneakers on the line. I'm like, yo, what's going on here? And it has to be something to do with, I believe, graduation, some type of celebration. But I mean, like, I'm walking down the block and there's literally like 40 sneakers on the line. I'm sure the people at whatever Michigan or Ann Arbor Power got to feel some type of way. Like, all right, y'all, come on. Y'all are really straining the cords out here. You know what I mean? Because they, it was crazy. I was just photographing it like I was in some little, you know, foreign land. But that was cool. What did I get into while I was out there? I went back to Zingerman's. I'm not sure if I've ever talked about Zingerman's here, but Zingerman's is like, it's like a very famous, I guess it started as a deli, but they got various little outposts. There's the Zingerman's Deli. That's where I typically go. But then there's Zingerman's Outpost and Zingerman's Roadhouse and Zingerman's. There's a few. It's almost like a damn syndicate. It's a bunch of little Zingerman's things, but seems like one of the things that they're known for is their corned beef sandwich. So I was like, let me go ahead and get me one of these corned beef sandwiches. I had it before. Not even let me go ahead. It was like, let me get back to Zingerman's because the corned beef sandwich was fire. Actually, each time, both times, just because I could be indecisive, I got the half and half, half corned beef, half pastrami, and they put it on this good rye bread. I think this time I got it with Swiss cheese. I don't think I got it with cheese last time, some mustard, you know. And I do remember from the last time, the bread is soft, but the crust of the bread is hard body karate. Like, it's serious. You got to really, it's crazy. But overall, that was good. Shout out to my man Kyle, OG Vibe alum. He's out there getting his, his PhD or something like that. So I seen him this, the last time, I seen him this past time, we chopped it up. That was cool. That was probably the best meal I had out there. I didn't really even go too crazy where I was staying. I was staying somewhat off the beaten path. So I had some, like, you know, lightweight junk food. You know, I didn't go crazy, but I definitely indulged in a little bit of some junk food. I ain't junk food, but, you know, just regular, you know, regular little restaurants that, like, not fast food, like, what do they call that? Fast cash, I guess. I went to Buffalo Wild Wing. I haven't been to Buffalo Wild Wings in probably years. I used to like Buffalo Wild Wings a little something, especially when they used to do the little wing deals or whatever. But I hadn't been in a long time. So I feel like quietly, I think Wingstop, even though they're a little, probably a tier below as far as accessibility, I think they kind of, I don't know, man. I feel like, I don't know if they choke Buffalo Wild Wings all the way out, because Buffalo Wild Wings is still around, but I just feel like Wingstop took a little bit of that momentum. Anyway, so I seen they had a little something you get, you know, I got the wing meal, and then the wing meal was like, if you ordered X amount of this, you get yourself a free burger. So I got a free burger, and it looked crazy when I did the haul. It was like, yo, dude, you wildin'. I didn't eat all of it, but it was a bargain. You know what I'm saying? I was like, let me go grab this. The burger quietly might have been better than the wings. You know, what's your favorite wing flavor when you do it? I got lemon pepper hot, regular lemon pepper, salt and pepper. It's a lot of pepper, right? Salt and pepper, jamming jalapeno. It was all good. I think it might have been a tie between the lemon pepper hot, because that's basically just the original buffalo wing, but just lemon pepper seasoning on top. So you get the, you know, it's another half and half situation. You get the best of both worlds. And the jamming jalapeno wasn't bad. And then maybe in third place, I'll put salt and pepper. I mean, lemon pepper is, you know, it gets redundant, but, you know, yeah. I did that. Then I also, the other day, I went to Red Robin, back to the fast cash. Like I told you, I was bugging a little bit. I went to Red Robin, and this was my first time ever going to Red Robin. Shout out to Young Lambert, because he's one of them cats. I think it was Red Robin. I think he was like, yo, Red Robin got a good burger. So I was like, I always had that in the back of my mind. I finally got to go to Red Robin. They got good, well, this place here, really good service. They do like an endless side. Whatever you get with the burger is like endless. I have fries, but I'm cool on endless now. You know, maybe 20 years ago when I was at like that, I know that kills during college time. Like when the kids are there and the money is kind of low and you get as many fries, like, yeah, I'm sure people doing all of that. But, yeah, the burger was pretty good. The burger was solid. I thought it was going to be a thicker patty. Pause if need be. I'm trying to curtail the pause, but I thought it was like, when I seen them in the, I guess this is because I have no experience, I have no point of reference other than the advertisement, and you never go by the advertisement with any fast food, but when I see the little Red Robin advertisements, the photos of the burgers, they always look brolic. It was regular, it was like smash burgers. They were fine though, they were good, took the G out of growl. So that was that. Yeah, that was pretty much it. It was interesting too. There's a spot out there, well, in Michigan particularly, no mushrooms are illegal. So I walked past this one little spot, Mush Love. And I walked in there, and yeah, they had full on mush. I'm thinking, you know, it's a mushroom dispensary. I'm thinking they're gonna, you know, grind it up, put it in little candy bars, micro dose type of thing, you know, something where it's like it's not a lot. No. They was full on mushrooms, and they was selling them from like quarter or grams to, I don't know what the hero dose. I don't know if that's the, I didn't even get involved with all of the question asking, because when I walked in there, the two, I don't even know what you call them. If it was a weed dispensary, you call them bud tenders. But the two people that were, you know, talking to you about what you're going to experience or whatever, they were occupied. And the dude was like, yo, I'll talk to you in a second, but I ain't really feel like staying around. I had to break out. But yeah, it was full on mushrooms. And I was like, yo, I was always on the fence with mushrooms. There was a part of me, like, as in later years, there's a part of me that's like, yeah, I'm curious about mushrooms. I remember a long time ago, my homie told me, this was back in like college, he was like, listen, he had done mushrooms before. He was like, listen, man, if you do mushrooms, make sure you're in a good mood, because if you're not, it's going to be terrible for you. And that always spooked me, because I'm like, I mean, I like to say I'm in a good mood most of the time, but more often than not, when I do like drugs, or when I used to do drugs back in the day, I would get nervous. I get nervous right before the high. It's like going up on the roller coaster. I might have been cool when we were standing in the line. I might have even been, you know, fronting like, ha ha, I can't wait. When it was going. Oh, nah, I'm about to be shook. I remember when I used to smoke weed, when I first started smoking weed, man, I'd be in my peephole more than I'd watch through the peephole than my television. I was just looking, thinking I was about to catch a home invasion or something. It was ridiculous. Ridiculous levels of paranoia. So I don't know. And then there's always, maybe this is dated, maybe people don't do this because I haven't really read about it anywhere. I just used to hear about it. But I was like, it'd be my luck. I'd be the dude to jump out the window. You know what I'm saying? Break your neck. You know what I'm saying? all at this old ass age. Now I'm too old to really be having drug related injury. Like, it's ridiculous, dog. You're not a kid. You know what I'm saying? You should have known better. What's going on? Anyway. Yeah, so that was Michigan. Michigan was a vibe. Michigan was cool. Again, thank y'all. If you came out, thank you for coming out. The conversationalists, the new fans, the return customers. There was one couple that came through. It was cool. Little young couple, like in their 20s. They came through to the Friday show. They had a good time. Came back to the Saturday show with their parents. I was like, oh, wow, that's kind of fly. They brought their parents out. I was like, damn. I'm hoping I'm cool. I'm the hybrid kind. When I was, they was like, we got to bring our folks. Because I'm the old head now. We got to bring our folks. They'll probably appreciate some of the stuff he's talking about. But, yeah, it was a good time. It was a good old time. Take a sip of this tea. Yeah, I'm on tea right now. I'm kind of chilling on coffee for a little bit. Not that coffee's a bad thing. It's just the way that I make my coffee now. So it's a lot. It's a lot of steps. And ever since that Keurig died, making coffee feel like I'm really making coffee. Like I gotta do a lot, you know, in the quest to make a good cup of coffee. It's like, whatever, man. Is this coffee going to be all right or nah? A lot of times I make coffee, it tastes kind of bitter. And that's oftentimes because I often, you know, I mostly drink it black anyway. So, you know, I think sometimes there's, you know, people that chase that. Make the perfect cup of coffee. Like if you go online or on YouTube or whatever and you put in good cup of coffee, I use a mocha pot coffee, do's and don'ts. It's so much ridiculous information out there. Like, you could be preoccupied with that forever. And I'm cool, man. I'm just trying to drink something in the morning. Get me right. You know what I'm saying? But I'm on tea right now because, like I said, tea, all I got to do is heat the water, pour the tea, let it steep, pull the bag out. I didn't know until recently, till a couple years ago, you're supposed to take the bag out. I used to keep the bag in like a bookmark, you know, like to make it look like I got a cup of tea. Look at this man. He's upstanding. Cup of tea, you know. You got to take that out. Supposedly makes it bitter. I don't really see no difference, but it is what it is. I'm sipping some organic chai. You know what I mean? Right now, it tastes decent. Last week I had Chris on here. We talked about Killing in Obscurity, his latest comedy special. And then, you know, we did a drive-by about the T.I. 50 battle. It was just, I guess, not just heating up, but it was still in the early stages of the battle. Since then, things have developed. More records have come out. Damani put out a record, probably the best record of the whole thing. Or, yeah, probably because it's the surprise attack of it, the surprise attack of it all, and like just the approach, you know. It was real introspective and real mature, real like, I'm gonna give you a complex. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm gonna talk to your moms right now. It was kind of slick. I don't know if this is true. I seen online somebody said that, you know, if you listen back to the song, you know, he's asking a bunch of questions. He asked him exactly 21 questions to kind of flip. You know, that's the other thing about battles now. All of the Easter eggs, you know, all of the Easter eggs. Everything is for consideration of a Dissect podcast season. But yeah, so far it's been pretty good. You know, just on the rap side, 50 still hasn't really responded. He ain't getting in the studio. It is what it is. For a while until, and I kind of still feel it, to be totally honest with you. These records are cool, but it don't really feel like anything unless there is some engagement from the other side. You know, like, this is good promo for T.I. And not to say that he needed it or whatever, but it's good promo for T.I. And it's good conversation. And it's, I do like the family bond, the family hustle. I like the fact that damn near everybody in the Harris family, you know, except Tiny, she's chilling, you know, being defended and protected. But everybody else seems to have a pad and a pen out, you know what I mean? And then getting to it, you know, auditioning bars and things like that. I like that. I like that that turned into a little hive. You turned the whole family up, you know? I like that. That's cool. But besides that, it's... I don't know how much traction this thing has. So it's cool to watch peripherally. You know, what y'all think? Is it interesting to you? Is it exciting to you? Are you invested? I think I was more invested last week than I am this week. We'll see what happens. I feel like I was just looking at an interview. It seems like T.I. ain't even invested no more. It's like, you know, he did what he had to do. Because after a while, man, If it's no response, it's just like, what are we talking about? What are we doing? Let me go do something else. I'm quite nosy. I'm quite nosy. I know it. I try not to be in people's business. I always seek it out. You know, I'm not what's my girl's name? Betty Betrayal or even what was Pearl and 227, Betty Betrayal from Living Color, a Benita Betrayal. I'm not one of these people that's out on looking through the window. Even though many years ago, this was bad funny. Me and my ex, we was in the apartment one day, and I guess it was some young kids beefing, like a young little couple beefing. And they was in front of the building and shit. And we went to the window. We looked out the window as a couple, as a nosy-ass couple. We looked out the window, and they in the middle of beefing, and they both looked up. It's like, fuck is y'all looking at? We just kept looking. You know what I mean? You ain't gonna punk us in our house. But it was embarrassing, because you never want to get fingered for being nosy. You know what I mean? Like,
That's the thing about being nosy. You gotta, you know, you gotta act as though you're not all into it. You're not in, you know, you're not paying attention, but you're paying attention. You know, I'm an ear hustling champion. That's what made me think about it. I love the ear hustle. You know, I'm gonna miss ear hustling when I get old. You know, because it's better. You know, I ain't even gonna be able to hear. Better yet, overhear. You know what I'm saying? So like right now, this is probably you know, not the last days, but towards the back half of my ear hustling career, you know. But I was just thinking about that because I was on the train the other day. And one of the things that I like to ear hustle is I like to hear people talk about their jobs, whatever kind of job they got. Just talk about their jobs with somebody that works the same job. So that they could get into like the gossip of the job. I don't even need to be on the job just to really be pulled into the gossip. Because, you know, gossip is gossip. Everybody talk about the same thing. Who they don't like on the job, who they love on the job, who don't know how to do the job, who think they better than the job, who's, you know, they might be jumping off on the job, all of that. So I'm on the train and it was these two transit workers sitting across from each other, and they chopping it up, and they talking about all types of transit, you know, news and gossip or whatever. And it's funny too, because, you know, it's almost like they cops on the beat. Every job, every industry has its own shorthand. So they, I guess at this point, I don't know if they limited to the A line, but they were talking about stops on the A line. So they would be like, yeah, you know, over on 207. You know, the people over there, 207, he's such and such. Yeah, I was over on, you know, I was at 145th and this, that, and the other thing. And they just, you know, saying these little stops and things. But then what was interesting, speaking of 145th, they started talking about, you know, they started talking about various fish spots in Harlem, particularly in Harlem, right? And I'm listening, you know what I'm saying? Because I love a good fish spot. A good fish spot. And what really piqued my interest was when they said one of them fish spots is overrated. And I absolutely agreed. I was like, oh yeah, for sure. That's an overrated fish spot. And then they going through the whole little list of fish spots that they know. They as the young kids say, they know ball. You know, like it was like, yeah, you go over here, there's such and such, such. And every fish spot they named, I knew. You know, and I was just listening to their little quick reviews. Yeah, it was all right. Nah, I like that spot. Oh, I didn't know they got to say, okay, so they, oh, okay. You know, they breaking it down and all of that. One person knew a little bit more than the other person, but they, and I was tempted to jump in. But that's, you, if you're going to be nosy, don't be nosy. If you're going to be nosy, it's bad enough you being nosy. Mind your business. Now, you're not really minding your business, but stay out of their business. Stay out of people's business. Don't be, because it's a tricky one. If you just jumping in somebody's conversation, sometimes it could be welcoming, but more times than not, they looking at you. They might not say nothing crazy, but they looking like, yo, who invited? You know what I mean? Who we ain't invite you in. We ain't invite you in. This ain't, you know, this ain't sinners. Man, come on, man. Stay over there. Stay over there. And you know what it was? I'm going to be honest with you. This is why I was so nosy. I forgot my headphones. So I took the train. I forgot my headphones, and I was sick. I realized as soon as I went through the turnstile, I was like, oh, I forgot my headphones. I don't even feel like doubling back. So that's the thing. Now, I'm over here raw dogging the train ride. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just sitting there. Just with my thoughts, which is cool. I try to be with my thoughts a little bit more often nowadays. But like it was, I heard all that work gossip and then that fish talk, it piqued my interest. I was like, hold on now, you know, because it's also it was a dude and it was this woman, and the woman, she was funny, like just the way, you know, her way with words, the way she would just sum up certain people at the job. It was good to hear. I was like, oh, this is good. I like this. I'm interested. This is not my business, but I'm here. But yeah, that's what's going on. Watch the Actor Awards, formerly the SAG Awards. I voted too, so that's why I was invested. I voted because some years I get the ballot and I forget to vote and it comes on and I'm like, oh, damn, I forgot. Because more often, back in the days, last few years, I want to say it was on like YouTube or whatever. It was not really, it wasn't, it definitely wasn't on TV, but this year they had it on Netflix. And then just every year that I miss, I'm like, damn. Nah, I'm not going to, you know, because I already paid the dues and I get the screener. So I'm like, you know, let me make sure, because it don't take time. It don't take that long just to go vote. So I voted. Quite a few of the people I voted for won. And one of them votes was for Michael B. Jordan. And I was very excited that Michael B. Jordan won, as was Viola Davis. I don't know if you saw the clip, but when she you know, you knew somebody black won the way she was like, "Oh, you are Vision." I forget exactly what she said, but you know, she's invested anyway because she's the one that kind of, in my mind, started the narrative that he didn't play two characters, he played three characters. Now, what was the, you played Smoke and you played Stack and you played either one of them as a vampire. Young man, you played three characters. You know, she said in that whole Viola voice and shit. And I was like, word. And I've been saying, we're having these conversations with homies. I was like, you know, Timothée Chalamet is still, or seemingly, I mean, up until last night, seemingly like the, you know, the front runner for best actor. And now while Marty Supreme was not whack and Timothée Chalamet did his thing, it was fine. It was fine. It was a good performance. But the fact that this man, Michael B. Jordan, played three characters is bananas. And then I've been hearing, and again, this is Easter eggs, this is folklore. Who knows how much of this is real? I got to rewatch it. But Wumi was like, when he played Smoke, I guess when he played Stack, Stack had dimples. When he played Smoke, Smoke ain't have dimples. And he had to, like, do something, you know, to hold his face a certain way to where, you know, the dimples wouldn't show. And then he would wear tighter shoes when he played Stack, or vice versa, and then big shoes when he played Smoke. So he walked a certain type of way. Then there's also the thought that, because I know, I want to say he won at the, I guess it was the NAACP Awards, I think. He won somewhere, and then, you know, he just won at the Actor Awards. There's the talk that he did his acceptance speech at one award show as Smoke and the other award show as Stack. I don't know how true that is, but that's crazy. If he is on it like that, man, get that man an Oscar. Not that it validates the performance. I just would like to see that happen. I would just like to see that happen, you know, Casino or Blackness, I talked about a couple episodes ago, you know, but and it's not even like I would just like to see that happen. It's deserving. Like, his performance was crazy. So it's like, yeah, man. Yeah, like, make the right choice. But we'll see. We'll see. I won't be surprised if old Chalamet get it, you know. I still haven't watched Hamnet. I've been saying it for week after week after week after week. I still have yet to watch Hamnet, but maybe I'll get to it. Hopefully I'll get to it. We'll see. I read the Amy Barnett book, Amy Dubois Barnett, the old editor-in-chief of Honey from way back in the day, and Teen People, I forget, somewhere else. But she got a book called If I Ruled the World, which is basically about publishing in the 90s. And the main character is a woman named Nikki. And it's just like, she is starting like kind of like a lowly, not a lowly editor, but like an editor just trying to cut her teeth in the game. She's working at a broad, like a mainstream white magazine, kind of something along the lines of maybe something like maybe Marie Claire, or not Vogue, but you know, like one of those type of magazines that kind of caters towards more so like a whiter crowd, right? She's a black woman from Harlem, and her dream is to be an editor-in-chief, and then an opportunity for her to take the helm at a black women's magazine called Sugar comes about, and all types of things happen. And, yo, it's good. It's good. I enjoyed it. I was hearing a bunch of people talking about it. It's good. I really enjoyed it because, you know, one, I used to work in urban, I guess, urban publishing, you know, over at Vibe and all of that. And then just being around people that worked at all of these other magazines, whether it was Honey or XXL or Essence or, you know, so like that publishing world. And then also like that mid to late 90s New York world, how they told the story. It's pretty cool. It was a really good book. I enjoyed that. I don't know if I talked about it. I read the Cameron Crowe memoir. That was pretty good. I like Cameron Crowe. I mean, he's speaking of journalism as well, you know, super young kid journalist. I was just such a big fan of Almost Famous. That's kind of how I got hip to him. And obviously that's his, like his, I guess his loosely based on his life story. So it was kind of cool to listen to that. I've been listening to a lot. I read the If I Ruled the World, but I listened to the, actually I read and listened to the Uncool. That's the name of his book, Uncool. Right now I'm listening to another S.A. Cosby book, Razorblade Tears. It's pretty good so far. It's funny though, because, you know, I read what, King of Ashes, or I listened to King of Ashes, and I was really feeling the fact that the, you know, the narrator, he know how to perform the book, right? Now, it's funny, because I'm hearing, this narrator is the go-to for the S.A. Cosby books, but what's funny is these are new characters, but like the same voice. So it's like, yo, this is the voice from Homie. Now you're using the same voice for this character. It'd take you a little bit to be like, oh, okay, I guess he only got two voices he do. You know, but yeah, it's good so far. And I got a couple other things on deck. But yeah, that's that. I've been like really, you know, rocking with, I'm getting back into books, getting back into storytelling, just seeing how people choose to tell some stories and things like that. You know, I feel like I want to do something in that lane. I haven't watched anything movie-wise in a minute. I haven't watched anything movie-wise. I got a few movies sitting around on deck, but I haven't, not that I can remember. I haven't watched anything that's like, oh, yeah, that was crazy. But, yeah, so that's that. Industry had its finale this past Sunday. That's interesting, because I see a few people hitting me about Industry, but it's not like some of these other shows that, you know, we recap. Maybe it's just because it's a one-man recap or whatever. Or maybe Industry's not as popular as it is as some of these other shows. You know, Power Universe shows or even Game of Thrones. And part of the reason I haven't really done anything with this the Seven Doors or whatever, that most recent Game of Thrones joins, because I'm not really the Game of Thrones guy historically. That's more of a Muhammad thing. You know, I got into Game of Thrones after the fact. He used to do the one-man Game of Thrones recaps. Like, I would just sit there off to the side while he go through it. But then I finally saw Game of Thrones during the pandemic, and then we got into House of the Dragon. That was cool. So that's probably why I haven't explored this most recent Game of Thrones property. But I had a conversation with a friend of mine, and I didn't realize this Game of Thrones joint is a comedy, which is interesting. Now I'm a little interested. Now I might watch it. I'm a little interested. I don't know if I'm going to recap it. But anyway, I say all that to say, man, listen, I've been recapping this Industry thing week by week. I missed the last week because we was chopping it up with Chris. But it is the finale, and I don't know. How y'all feel? Who's watching it? Let me know. Have y'all been tapped in? Because I kind of like this season a lot. It was a departure from previous seasons of Industry. It wasn't as finance focused. It wasn't as investment peer point, you know, focused. There was other things. There was, you know, they were saying that they were saying they wanted to explore like corporate espionage. And they did a little bit of that, too. They did a little bit of, you know, shell companies and everything isn't what it seems, and political connects and, you know, a lot more to just dollars and cents and trades and shorts and stops and things like that. There was still that, but it was a little bit more sprawling for good and bad. I think more good than bad. Introduced some new characters, and, you know, it got way more expansive as far as the world goes. So, yeah. Ultimately, in the finale, you know, we've been watching this whole tender. Is tender legit or is it not? And if it's not, Harper's got her, you know, she's got her money riding on the fact that this is a terrible, you know, just a terrible property, a terrible stock, whatever. Like, it's not going to do well. I'm shorting it. I'm shorting this stock, and anybody that's down with me, they're going to make a whole lot of money. And please do not fall for the smoke and mirrors. Trust me, this is not it. Trust me. And I think that was, like, one of the big things as far as with Harper. This was her. She's always been trying to, always been moving with a chip on her shoulder, you know, trying to establish herself, trying to, as she said in this season, and I'm paraphrasing, but something about feel necessary, be somebody. Well, that's Yasmin, but for Harper, be somebody that's undeniable, you know, like to be undeniable. Her goal seemed like she wanted to be so undeniable when she came back home. Her moms, who, you know, super abusive, at least emotionally, would just have to basically bow to her greatness. You know, I made it without you. In spite of you, I made it. I'm one of them. And I knew I was, and now you know. And you can't front on me. Look at everything that I got. Look at everything that I've achieved. And that's kind of been what has driven her throughout this whole thing. But the same thing is, you know, you got this type of relationship with your mom. I don't know where the pops is at, but you got this type of relationship with your parent. Somebody that you should be able to look to for unconditional love. And when it's strained like that, you know, you may have a problem just, you know, connecting emotionally. And you see that quite a bit in the season. So anyway, but long story short, her whole thing was this tender business ain't what it is. We're going to short it. I put together a nice little fund. I got my little squad. It's me, Eric, Sweet Pea, and Quabina. It's just the Fantastic Four. And then as things go on, Eric, you know, there's a light extortion that makes Eric say, you know what, Harper, take the whole business. Just pay me back when, you know, when things pull through, when you make this money. But I just want to cut. I want to cut ties. I don't want anything that I could bring to the game to sully your name. You know, you got the goods, and you need to be able to fully fly. Let me get off your back. Go ahead. She didn't understand it in the moment, and some of it comes to light in this one, but a little bit out of context. Anyway, so we're at the part of, you know, tender is people looking under the hood and it don't look good. Everybody's like, yo, this tender thing is crazy. The investors are shook because it is looking like now it's a shell company. They had a real audit and it looks like there's a lot of corruption going on. Whitney is on the run. Henry has been embarrassed. You know, they probably going to come and arrest him at some point. He's shook. Yasmin is kind of, I don't say chilling, but she's biding her time because she masterminded her exit well and basically threw Henry under the bus along with Yasmin and Henry's uncle. They threw Henry under the bus, you know, and basically there was a moment where they considered saving him, but they were like, you know, Yasmin was like, he never felt any consequences. So the way he moves, Sometimes you gotta, you know, you gotta bump your head so you can know. You gotta touch that oven. You gotta touch the stove to know it's hot. He moving with the, like, so much ignorance, so much entitlement, and like, just so, like, it's just, he has no wherewithal about like what the stakes really are, because he's never had to feel any consequences. So even in the midst of all of this, there was a moment where maybe she could save him. But even then, he would have probably been so resistant and so headstrong. Listen, I got it. Because he was such an under a spell by Whitney that he could have probably messed up the whole exit plan for Yasmin and all that. And it showed that, you know, he put a bunch of money into Tender. Like, he was done and he wasn't even thinking about Yasmin. So Yasmin had to go for self. And the uncle was like, listen, let's learn him a lesson. You know what I mean? He'll be all right. He'll be all right either way. However bad it is, he'll be all right. He might get embarrassed, you know. So at the top of the episode, you see him kind of tight at her. You know, like, yo, how come you ain't, you know, you and my uncle, y'all put that newspaper out. You ain't tell me, ain't give me the heads up. You got me looking crazy out here. You know, she gave him a hug, gave him a deep hug, you know, and she says in his ear, I don't love you no more. Yo, Yasmin is cold-blooded. She's always been cold-blooded. But, like, she got the charm and she look, you know, dudes is going to fall for her, but she's going to, at some point, she's going to strike. Ha! Gotcha. You know what I'm saying? Listen, I ain't shit. I told you. I'm out for me. You know, I came up hard. My pops was crazy. Really crazy. But, so she's like, man, I don't love you. You know, and when you get your head together, you're going to realize you don't love me either. You know what I'm saying? So I had to do what I had to do. I need a divorce. I want a divorce. You know, you've kind of already going against some of the parameters of our prenup, you know. So, like, I know I should be getting some bread because you out here relapsing and cheating. You know, we got that explicitly stated as deal points. Like, if you do either of the two, you're going to have to break me off. So I need that. I need that. Give me space. Give me some room. Let me do me. So he's sick about that. He can't find Whitney. Whitney calls him a block number. Yo, go in the bedroom and look behind the armoire. There's a loose slat in the back. You pull that off, and he's got, it looks like at least 300,000 or quid, euros, whatever. He's got a lot of money, brand new bills, two bricks of money. He like, meet me here. And I mean, I'll explain everything else. Henry's like, what's going on? Where are you? Yeah, Henry always wanted no answers, but he don't, like, such an idiot. And he's like, just meet me here. Tell you everything when you get here. I can't talk to you over the phone. Meet me here. So we cut back to Harper. It's not even Tal Stern. It's just Stern. Cut back to Stern Enterprises. It's the three now. The treacherous three, and they chilling. They sitting in front of the monitor, waiting for the market to open to see how far Tinder has plunged, and if Tinder plunged so crazy, to see what they're gonna make off of the shorting of it all. Sure enough, it comes to the day, like, yo, wait a minute. Quabner goes to the whiteboard, does the math. They made $110 million off of a $10 million investor. They made $110 million. They hype. You know, they won. They took a dub. They call up Kenny, man. Start making it, you know, start closing. And don't be aggressive, you know, do it smooth. I'd rather you do it cool than in haste. You know what I'm saying? Like, Harper was like, let's get cigars. They were like, you smoke cigars? He's like, nah, get whatever you want. Sweet Pea gets on the phone, she ordering caviar. Send my man to McDonald's. Yo, go get us some McDonald's fries, some chips, but McDonald's chips. Get some McDonald's chips, put the caviar on top of the McDonald's chips. Let's get some Pringles. You know, they into it. So they in the celebratory mood. Does anybody call up in that moment? I'm trying to think. I don't think so. So they celebrating. They, you know, finally... You know, they stayed the course, and it paid off like to the point to where now they could buy a whole new office. They could build on infrastructure. So it's a beautiful thing for them. Cut back to Henry pulling up on Whitney, who is at basically like a little clear port in a chartered plane waiting to take off, but he has no money. He's waiting on Henry to come pull the money around. The guy's telling him, yo, you're going to have to get out in a second. He like, hold on, just be cool. I got the money coming. He just know Henry is going to come through because Henry's still under his spell. Sure enough, Henry pulls up. And Whitney's still evasive, you know, Henry asking them all questions, what's going on, you know, and Whitney's like, listen, don't even worry about it, I mean, you know, listen, we're in this together, you're gonna be good, we just gotta bust a move, like real shady talk, you know, you're not really revealing anything. You just talking around the whole subject, don't worry about it, look, here, I got you a passport, got him a fake passport. That's what shook him. Got him a fake passport. Like, yo, this is what it is. We about to, the propellers are going. They about to take off. Henry starts snapping. Like, hold on. Wait a minute. Oh, you got me moving like I'm one of your assets or something. You're moving me. You're turning me into a pawn. Like, in that moment, he realized, he was like, you got me assuming the identity of somebody else. I'm the man out here. Like, I'm a prince. You are a peasant. You trying to treat me like a pawn? Man, if you don't get the fuck out, man, listen. If you don't go ahead with all of that, let me off this shit bird, I think he called it, or something like that. Either way, it hit him. He's like, dog, I am royalty, and it can't get so bad. I'm not going to be like you. I'm definitely not going to be second to you. I'd rather, what did he say? Basically something to the fact, I'd rather go down on my own with my own name, shame and all of that, my own name, than to assume a character, a persona that you have created for me. Man, get me out of here. Take the money. I'm gone. He goes home. The reporters are all the way out there. He calls, No, he doesn't call. Jenny Bevan has a conversation with somebody where she's kind of snooping around. It's kind of seeing that maybe there's obviously some type of Russian collusion. There's some people outside of just Whitney, you know, that has something to do with this whole tender thing. So then she calls Henry and she's like, yo, Henry, look into this. And Henry's like, I'll give it a look. You know, he goes and talks to, I forget, Montserrat, you know, one of his uncles, or maybe part of the family, but one of the higher ups in his family, the people that work in the media or whatever, they go out to go eat. And Henry's like, listen, what's going on? I think it's deeper than Whitney. You know, I think there might be some Russian participation. And his guy kind of, you know, warns him, like, listen, remember that one guy that jumped out the window and impaled himself on the gates? And he's like, no, I don't remember. He's like, oh, yeah, it was one dude jumped out the window and impaled himself on the gates. And it didn't look like he did it himself. It looked like he was thrown out. But the fact of the matter is he had a history of mental problems. So it's very easy for them just to chalk it up to a mentally disturbed individual taking their own life. And he looked at Henry. He was like, Henry, you have mental challenges that are documented. He said, yeah, he says, yeah. So what I would say is just keep it to Whitney. You don't want these people involved in anything you got going on. At the end of the day, because Henry had already talked to his lawyer, it's looking like he's probably going to get a slap on the wrist. At the most, he'll do, you know, he'll be on house arrest. And this man lives in a castle. You know what I'm saying? He lives in a castle. So house arrest is super cool on a castle. I mean, it's probably still restrictive, you know, but, you know, it's better than a studio apartment. Anyway, no disrespect to my studio heads. Anyway, So he goes, does a little press conference, and he says, listen, it was Whitney and Whitney alone, and that's where it stops, you know, basically that whole thing. Jenny Bevan is kind of tight, you know, she's upset. It's what it is. So that's kind of how that's going to fall out. We go to Yasmin. Yasmin has basically taken on the playbook of Whitney in the way of she hired old Calabasas, you know, old Sally Draper, the escort, and, you know, the escort with her cousin, a.k.a. her partner in crime, and, you know, all her other ladies. And she's basically having these little dinners like the one that Harper met Whitney at in the beginning, where she gets all of these people with a lot of money and political ties. And there's this new guy that they're trying to, I guess, support and trump up and be, you know, raise money for his campaign so they could have him in the pocket. So she's throwing these parties. And it's funny because, oh, I missed this one, Paul Harper. They go and look at some office space, some nice looking office space. But while they're at the office space, Harper gives Quabena and Sweet Pea a check for $2 million. And I think she gave herself a check for $2 million. She said, listen, that's the draw. We pulled off of that. The rest of the money, we're going to reinvest. So we got a fund that we can use and people will take us seriously. And then we can also, you know, we can have an operation. And, you know, it's $2 million. And Sweet Pea was like, ugh, $2 million. I could have got this selling feet pics on the internet. You know what I mean? She kind of scoffed at it a little bit. Not even to be funny. Like, this is the reality of the situation. But my question is, which way do you want it, babe? You've been saying this whole season that you didn't like being looked at as somebody that's out here on the OnlyFans. You ain't want to be that. So, you know, I guess that's the price of the pivot. You know, like $2 million. Yeah, you could have made it selling feet, selling pictures of your feet, but they wouldn't have respected you. You trying to get this respect, right? This is what it is. $2 million. I mean, come on. But anyway. But I guess that's the pivot, right? That's how it is sometimes. You know, like, if you're somebody that comes by fast money, but in a way, in a realm that's not celebrated, you know, or has much prestige or respect on it, it's like, what do you want? Fast money or you want respect? So there's the cost of it all. And $2 million, it's nice and it's not a bad look, especially as a start. And they still get their salaries. So that was one thing. That was kind of interesting. So she says in that same thing, she tells Quabena, listen, Yasmin is having this event out in Paris. I don't want to go alone. Would you like to come? He's like, yeah, I'll come out there with you. Let's do it. So they go out there. They at the they staying at the hotel. And as they checking in, they see Yasmin and Sally Draper pull up. And Yasmin is in, like, you know, good spirits. Hey, you know, it's Paris. Da-da-da-da-da. You know what I mean? Treating Paris like Vegas. We're going to have it, baby. I got the whole top floor to us. So, you know, come through. It's going to be the joint. And Quabena's like, damn, I wish my life was falling apart. Looks good. You know, Quabena's slick. You guys, like, I like this cat. I've said it throughout the whole thing. I like this cat. There was one moment in this episode where I was like, oh, he a little judgy, but it did turn, it did kind of, he was proven right. Anyway, so the later on, they upstairs, they kicking it, Harper and Quabena, they chopping it up, and he's like, yeah, I used to go to, I know, I got a friend of mine that went to school with Yasmin and said, yo, she's a terrible person. She's a terrible person, you know? Like, yeah, she ain't good people. And Harper was like, well, what made you bring that up? He says, I'm just saying, you know, she's not bad. She's not good people. So if you met her in the street outside of everything you know about her, you probably wouldn't be friends with her. And she was like, and I like this line because this is real. She said, you can't strip the context off of a relationship, you know, because that's real talk, you know? Everybody you know, you have a relationship with that person based on, you know, however y'all met, how y'all got cool or whatever. But there might be people that you are cool with that other people can't stand. And they don't understand how you are, you know, how you have a relationship with this person. But
to Harper's Point, you can't, you know, listen, we were thugging it out at Pierpoint, you know, and I seen something in her that appealed to me in some way. And we were cool, and she was good to me, you know, all of that type of thing. So anyway, he says a couple more slick things, and she was like, look, you don't gotta go to this dinner. And then ultimately he's like, all right, bet. Well, I'm gonna take a walk. You do your thing. So she goes to the dinner alone, and basically she's the only black person at the dinner. Quavon ain't there, you know, to at least be there, some support. And she sat between these two, like this little, these two Nazis, basically. It's Nazi woman and it's Nazi man, and they talking all of that purity of nation talk and all this other shit. And, you know, like, it's crazy. And she, you could tell, she's looking at the whole, like, the layout and seeing it for what it is. And it's almost as though she doesn't recognize Yasmin anymore. You know, and then so a little later, which I always appreciate the two of their dynamic. They have great scenes together. The best scenes on this show, to me, either Harper and Eric or Harper and Yasmin. But anyway, so it's a Harper and Yasmin moment. And what I appreciate about both of them is they don't bite their tongue. You know, Harper's going, she's a straight shooter. That's one thing. She's not going to beat around the bush. She was like, listen, I was sitting over there. There was some strong conversation over there. I think you got me over here with some Nazis. And what's going on? What's the deal? What's the play here? Is everybody here just here to give money to this political guy? Like, what is this? Why do you have these people all in one room? She was like, this is what I do now. This is how I'm, you know, how I'm moving forward. You know, I'm sorry that happened. I didn't know that was going to be the thing. You know, you're my girl. I wouldn't have you out there like that. And I apologize. She's like, yeah. And then she basically, you know, she basically kind of says, but this is how things get done. You know, these people aren't the best people, but this is what we're doing now. You know, and I think the title of the episode was End Both, right? And then it's basically, which I wanted to kind of talk about, well, I'll probably maybe talk about next week, but just like, it reminds me of what I feel like. There's an absence of nuance. Everything isn't black and white, right? So everything isn't good. Everything isn't bad, right? So there's, you know, she's like, but what do you think about this? He's like, it could be both. It could be and both, you know? And then there's a line where Harper was like, Yasmin, I'm your friend, and trust me when I say this, what you're saying is not you. That's not your voice coming out of your mouth. You know, like, you basically, you're adopting this whole modus operandi from, like, what you got from what was going on from Whitney, you know, and it feels like she's on, like, in survival mode, and she figured out how to run a play, and it seems like it works, and if it works, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And the play is also having, you know, Calabasas and her escort friends work in the room and ultimately probably to extort these people and, you know, have something against them. Like, she's playing dirty now. And when when Harper kind of questions her some more, she pulls out a phone. She says, look at this video. And she's like, what am I looking at? She's like, that's Eric. That's Eric with an underage woman. And how she frames it, she framed it as though Eric sought out an underage girl. And now Eric seen, you know, he definitely was messing with a pro. You know what I mean? He definitely knew what it was. He was paying to play, but he wasn't looking for a girl that was the same age as his daughter. He was looking for what he assumed was an adult woman, who is actually, I believe, an adult woman, but they've doctored her passport to make it look like she was 15 or something like that. But when shown to Harper, it kind of hits Harper too a little bit, like, yo. So that's why he jetted. But she don't know, like, she's throwing smut on his name a little bit. And there's no context, there's no nuance. So, like, you know, she sees it, but even that, she still sticks to her point. She's like, but beyond these videos and all of that, she says, take my hand, let's get out of here. Take my hand, let's get out of here.
And this is like the second time it's like they've been on some, let's get out of here, I'll take care of you, you take care of me type of thing, right? Because even when they're at odds, they're like, there's a friendship, there's some type of kinship. They, you know, they went through it together. So she's like, take my hand. If you love me, if you've ever cared about me, take my hand. And, you know, her hand is there, and Yasmin takes her hand finally, and then she says, I'm sorry. You know, she's like, look, I can't. This is what it is. This is how I'm living. You know, I got love for you, but you know, this is my life. You know what I mean? And you know, so Harper proceeds to leave, and then she's walking by, and there's the girl, the young girl that was in the Eric video. She's out there, you know, with these older, you know, fun, you know, rich guys sitting on some old dude's lap. And she grabs and she's like, yo, you don't have to do this. And the girl's like, yo, get out of here. Get off me. Because these are all women that, as Yasmin said, these are women that have never been out of their little one block radius. Like they from, you know, the meager side of the world. And this is their first time ever in Paris, the first time around, like money. This is outside of the maybe selling ass, this is very aspirational. You know what I mean? Put the ass in aspiration, an extra ass. But, and like, get out of here. And then old, what's her name? Oh, Sally Draper was like, get out of here, bitch. I was like, ah. And Harper looked at Yasmin. Yasmin was like, yo, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, if you're going to be like that, you know what I'm saying? Basically, don't hate the player or don't hate the game. Whatever the fuck. You know what it is. Basically, look, that's what you want. Listen, it is what it is. She hit it with the is. It is what it is, shrug. I'm sorry. This is how I'm moving now. Don't harsh my mellow. Long story short, Harper's dejected. You know, she goes back to the hotel, crashes out. Quabana comes in from being on the night. He wakes her up. You know, he mad too because they had their argument. He's like, look, this thing ain't working out. He said, I was just outside and a couple birds, they call them birds, a couple birds was on me, some white birds was on me, and I ain't going to lie to you, it felt good, you know? I think I don't want to do this no more. And Harper's like barely paying attention to him. And he's like, do you hear me? How's that hit you? And she's still like, she's like, all right, you know. And he's like, see, this is what I'm talking about. He's like, yo, I can't even get through to you. He said, you know, Sweet Pea told me that she told you about you and I, and I wish I had told you. I know it was messy and all of that, but it was like you were unfazed, you know. Like, basically, like, do I mean anything to you? Like, you know, I thought you would say something. And she was like, well, you know, when you went away to Ghana, that's when my mom's died. You know, he's like, oh, wow. He's like, well, I wish you had told me. And basically, she's like, yo, listen, I have a problem with relationships. I don't know how to connect, to depend on people, to, you know, it's easy to keep people at arm's length or whatever. And he was like, that's terrible. It's not worth it. And she said, hey, that's who it is to, you know, that's what it is to me. You know, this is just what it is. And it seems like they understand each other and they kind of, she said, but she did say, look, I like you. You know what I mean? We connect, and it might not even be, it might be more than the fact that we're just the only two black people, but we connect. And he was like, you know, I guess he kind of takes it for what it is. And it cuts to later on, she's on a private jet, you know, and it looks like there's some type of newspaper reporter doing, she's doing an interview on the private jet. And basically he's, you know, talking about the whole thing about, you know, the short and everything, and how did she stick to her guns in the midst of all of that propaganda, all of the information to the contrary? How did she stick to her guns, and how did she know it's going to go work out? And she just, you know, that's the nature of the business. It's always somebody that's going in the opposite direction of what the wind is blowing, and, you know, I stuck to it because I believed it. And then the guy was like, well, when you are that only voice that is going against everything being said and you are proven to be right, does it make you feel vindicated
or lonely? And she was like, both and then it ended. And that was that. It was a vibe. It was good. It was good. It was, you know, shout out to the whole, all of them over there. Shout out to all of them over there like I know them. But it was a good season. I enjoyed it. I think, I got to look and see, has Mahala ever been nominated for an Emmy? Because I've been watching a few things. I was watching, you know, as I said before, Patina Miller should have been nominated for an Emmy. I was watching The Morning Show. I feel like Karen Pittman should have been nominated for an Emmy. And I feel like Mahala should be nominated for an Emmy. Like, these are three black women that are getting busy on these shows and, like, putting on, like, some crazy good performances. And it's funny because I would imagine, it feels as though, I'm almost positive, Harper is the lead of the show. Like, she's the main character. But when I look at the key art on HBO Max, they got Sally Draper, and she's like a ancillary person. And then oftentimes, like when they made the announcement that it's the fifth and final season coming up, they got renewed for a fifth season this last season. A lot of it had Yasmin as the face of it. Very few things had Harper or Mahala. That's kind of crazy. You know what I mean? But, you know, you already know how that be. So that was that. I enjoyed it. I thought the joint was good. It was a great season. I had fun with it, you know. Let me know what you think. Let me know how you feel, how it ended. Where do you rank it? You know, yeah, let me get your feedback. Let me know what's what. Anyway, that's that. It's time to transform and roll out. And that's it. As always, tell a friend to tell a friend. To get in the conversation.
Conversation.